best Kiwi event in New Zealand.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it?
Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome back to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, brought to you by Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist. Also, our wonderful supporters, Kathmandu, of course. Richard Greer, welcome back. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward to this as we build up to the Coast to Coast in 2021. As rolling around, we're going to talk to a whole bunch of different people. So we've got an exciting show lined up tonight.
Yep, we're going to talk to some of the fastest male and female that have ridden, kayaked their way from one side of the coast to the other, get all their top tricks and secrets.
Absolutely. And then we're also going to talk to Matt Bateman on his first trip to train and race the coast to coast towards the end as well. So it should be good. So we're going to, just a bit of an intro, we're going to kick off with Christina Anglam, previously Christina Strode-Penny. For some, have talked about Christina being one of the best female athletes ever to race coast to coast. We're going to kick off with her. We're going to then talk to Bevan. Bevan was the winner of the two-day coast to coast this year. Beat me into second place. And then we're going to finish off with Matt.
Yeah, perfect. Yep, I love to hear the stories of Bevan there. And I guess who his toughest competitor was, sadly that was you, Richard.
I don't know, sadly.
It was a great effort from you, Captain, anyway, that's for sure. So without further ado, shall we talk to Christina and see how she is?
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. So just as an intro, Christina raced the coast to coast in the late 90s. And won the women's longest day a couple of times in 2004 and in 2005. Actually, that 2005 year was the one year that I've done the longest day. I got fourth that year, and Christina finished a very impressive sixth overall in the longest day field that particular year. Just a super strong paddle, a super strong back end to her race. Is also qualified the Olympics in kayaking, so it set a record for the K500. K1 500 at one stage, and then also super competitive in the world of adventure racing, winning the adventure racing world champs in 2005 and numerous other adventure racing titles along the way as well. So pretty excited to talk to Christina. Christina, come in.
Welcome, Christina. Howdy.
Thank you.
Cool.
That all seems a very long time ago, by the way, but there you go.
A lot of water passed down the river since then.
Yeah, a lot.
Brilliant, Christina. So let's kick off right at the start, shall we? So a little bit of an intro into what you have done in the past, and then how did you get into multisport? What's your background? What was your story and your journey?
I was a very outdoors orientated child, so spent a lot of time running, biking, kayaking. Yeah, we lived in Wellington. There's a lot of running tracks around there, and we had a dunger old kayak, so happily went out in the sea on quite a lot of adventures, which I'm pleased my mum didn't really know about. She probably would have had kittens. But that was the days. That's what you did in the 80s. And I didn't actually start competing until I was 21 at university. Did the Tua Tapiti Wild Challenge, which I did purely because it was somewhere remote in New Zealand that I would not otherwise be able to get to very easily. And actually, that pretty much sold me on multi-sport races, that sense of being able to explore places and, have it all planned out for you. So that was end of 95, was it? I led straight into the coast to coast after that. Just because I could. I think I sent Robin Judkins a chocolate fish with my entry form and said, can I just do the one day, please? No experience. He laughed and said, yeah, sure. But that's what happened those days as well, eh?
Yeah, that's right. You weren't able to just get straight into the one day. You had to do your time in the 2 day first. So
obviously
made the difference.
Yeah, the chocolate fish would have been big enough, obviously, to tempt him. So yeah, that was 94, I think. And at the finish line for that race, someone came up and asked whether I wanted to get into some adventure racing. Actually, it was for the Eco Challenge in Canada. And that was because of my mountaineering and outdoor background. So that was it. I was in. I'm up for a good adventure. It was straight away in, sold.
Good stuff. Great. And you're racing and you did more and more and got more and more into it. And then you had a couple of really good performances. And as I said before, 2004 and 2005 were sort of your stellar years in regards to coast and racing the longest day.
Yeah. So I actually in 2004, my first race, I went in really fresh and I was racing Kathy Lynch at the time, who was frightening, you know, because she was such a strong, solid ox of a competitor and woman. And I ended up placing second in that race. And I foolishly thought, gosh, imagine if I trained, imagine what I could do. So that was, that didn't go so well the next year. In fact, I started training and that was the downfall. So it took a couple of years to recover. So I probably only really started to bounce back in the at the end of the 90s and in the early 2000s.
So learned about your body, learned about how much you could do and making sure you are recovering properly and then stand on the start line being fresh rather than overcooked by doing just training too much.
Yeah, there's a real, you know, I'm quite stubborn, which has served me very well in a number of races, but probably needed to learn how to direct that rather than just always having to complete every session on the sheet. I didn't know then how to actually listen and take a day off. It was something that took a couple of years to recover from. There you go. Yeah. Whatever. It's life, hey?
Exactly. Yeah. It's also a weakness, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, actually 2004, you say, was a year that I did quite well. So, yes, I won it, but that was a horrific year. So, did you do it that year as well? Do you know?
No, I didn't.
No. So, that was the year that it was really cold, flooded. Really hard year. So, while I won, that was probably one of my worst races that I've done. That didn't go quite so well. So because of my stubbornness. So I had gone into that race in every way totally and utterly prepared. I had trained really well that time. I wasn't overtrained. I'd thought of all my gear, thought of everything possible that you could imagine, done every type of nutrition plan, every type of psychological mental conditioning plan. But I didn't yet have the ability to actually see the big picture of what was going on. So on the start line of that race, my bike fell over in the racks, you know how they're all lined up, and someone had kindly put it back up. But I didn't realise until later the brakes had jammed on, which meant I was biking up the road and, incredibly in control of my pace, which I had said that I was going to do, you know, because at the beginning the race always goes nuts and they just fire up the road, and I'd said that I was going to control this. And I was aware that bikes were flying past me, and I was in my zone going, no, just going to focus here, keep in control. You know, you're just going to keep your heart rate down and pace down, and you'll come through. And this carried on for probably an hour of stubbornly keeping really focused until, quite a ways into the course, you start going downhill. And I realised at that point that I was going downhill and bikes were flying past me, you know, by this stage. We were on to the mountain bikes and it was way out the back of the course. And it wasn't until then that I realised my brakes had actually jammed on. So I pulled over and I, you know, adjusted them so they didn't hold the wheel anymore and carried on. And fortunately, I knew someone who let me ride his front wheel into the transition. But, you know, despite feeling like I was in control and definitely, you know, focused, I'd actually, I hadn't been able to see the broader view of what was going on here. It was all internal and paced and, you know, I just couldn't, I wasn't thinking clearly. So then I hit the panic button and raced as hard as I could. And actually coming off the kayak there, there's a brilliant photo of me somewhere and I'm green, like I'm literally, you know, absolutely green, and I'm getting more or less pushed up the hill because I can hardly move by this stage. And then I start vomiting. You know, the top of that hill, just as you're coming to the transition, I think was my first puke. So my support crew, who were highly trained, you know, ushered me onto my bike before I even knew that I was on my bike, and they sent me off up the hill. And that was, I just puked my whole way for the next couple of hours into Christchurch. You know, bike, you know, just, yeah, ugly, vomit all over the bike, vomit all over the road. It was just went on and on and on. And I remember crawling along the causeway at 16 k's an hour with my disc wheel on, thinking that that was going to make me fast, you know, except that obviously I couldn't get it up to speed to make it me, to have it make me go fast, and just crawling into the finish line. And I got off my bike and staggered across and did the chair and got dragged off to the medical tent, and then promptly lay down on the medical tent, and basically body function stopped at that point. You know, pooed my pants, body went to nuts. Oh, finally, no. I gave in. It was just a horrific, you know, I was such a mess. I was a complete, you know, it was just a horrific race. Somehow I managed to still win, but there was mostly, I think, because of my stubbornness and because the conditions on the day were severe. You know, there was a lot of people helicoptered off the run, and it was really rough year. And in fact, they didn't make the call that year to not do goat pass, which led to them making a good call last year not to run through goat pass.
Yeah, cool. Because that year there were only a few people that actually finished the longest day, wasn't there? There was only a few that actually got onto the river and then got on their bikes to actually carry on, because most people got out in the river, just come up really, really quickly and actually sort of called the off for a whole lot of people. You would have been, is it one of the three females that actually finished the event that year? Something like that?
I don't know. I was oblivious, I tell you. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I just had my head down. And I guess, you know, that stubbornness means that I never give up. I just actually don't even allow my mind to register that as an option until I've crossed the finish line. So it got me to the finish, but I tell you, I was a mess, like serious body, you know.
So as I said before, it's a strength and a weakness, isn't it, to be able to push yourself and go that deep. You survived, but only just. Christine, I'd be keen to hear, like, obviously you've competed at the highest level. I'd be keen to hear how you've gone transitioning, because you've got three kids now. And obviously sort of that was 2005 was your last coast to coast. So what have you done since then? How have you sort of managed, I guess, that competitive side of things, that adventure side of things, getting out and about, changing focus? How's that gone for you?
When I finished competing, I actually finished because I popped my back. So that was an abrupt end to my racing. So that took, physically, that took probably a good year to get over, which, you know, me being me, stepped into what am I going to do next? Let's have kids. So I had kids when I hadn't yet physically recovered from my back injury, which meant that quite easily my focus changed just to kids. And the way I have tended to do things is I'm really hard out passionate about whatever it is that I do, and I just jump in and nothing else sort of exists for me in that in that phase. So there was the multi-sport phase and the adventure racing phase and the Olympic kayaking phase and then the kids phase. And we've had three kids and I've homeschooled them because I don't know why, but they're really active and they just couldn't imagine them sitting down at five in a classroom and being anything but disruptive. So they decided and we decided that was good to spend a few more years at home. So my oldest went off to school when he was nine and he promptly turned around and said, I think I'm ready for some structured learning now. And my my other kids went off at just realised my plug wasn't plugged in, sorry. Battery was about to burst, right? Yeah. My other kids have spent some time at home and then now they're all off at school. My youngest didn't want a bar of homeschooling. She's far too social. So I have now spent the last 11 years doing adventuring with them. And it is growing. You know, now my boys bike faster than me downhill. Love flying over things and I actually have to turn away. It's just a bit too scary to watch these days. We go off and we just adventure as a family. So I haven't competed. I stepped right away from that world. I love toodling and I love getting back into my bit of mountain running now. But mostly I have channeled all that wonderful adventure into what we do with the kids. It's great fun. Love it.
Christina, they're going to be amazing children by the sounds of that, led by an amazing woman. Just before we move on, Christina, is there with all the – I know it's a big ask to come back to the coast-to-coast and try and relive the glory days, I suppose, but with all the different changes in the coast-to-coast and all the different ways you can compete and do it now, is there any chance we'll see you back in a team and a just to do the run or anything like that?
No. Sorry, shall I think about that a little bit more? I guess I say that. The only thing that would call me back is if one of my kids was into it. And, like I said, I do things pretty hard out. And I did a great go at the Coast to Coast. And I talked about my 2004 failure year, but my 2005, the next year I did it, I felt like I did such a stellar go at it. I probably couldn't better that. And certainly not without huge amounts of training leading into it. So, and I'm not prepared to do that anymore. So
we won't rule out a family reunion to the Coast to Coast, though. Is that what we're saying one day?
What did I say?
That's exactly right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Christina, so much for joining us tonight on our podcast and giving us a little insight to a couple of your greatest days yet darkest moments, maybe a way of summarising that.
Yeah. No, it's such a awesome way of experiencing life, I reckon, multi-sport. Gets so much out of it that you put into other aspects of life. Love it.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Good time.
No worries.
Cheers.
Good job.
Well, there's a lady that's done it all, Richard.
That's a GM. Hands up. But cool to say that she's been able to tick the box, move on, to say that she's really nailed that performance in that 2005 year for herself.
Yep, and happy with that too. And that's the great thing to hear too is that, you know, I guess there's probably some people out there that maybe have regrets of their time and whatnot, but clearly Christina is absolutely happy with where she was, where she finished and how life is now.
Absolutely. And just to say that you've nailed it, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Speaking of nailing it, our next guest, he absolutely nailed it last year, Richard.
He did indeed. Bevan Jones, fantastic performance. Took out the two-day, having a bit of a chat beforehand with him. He's basically the two-day winning it was a goal, but it's, hey, let's put it out as a stretch goal. Let's see if we can actually do that. But so pretty exciting for him that he managed to nail it.
You there, Bevan?
Hi guys, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. So, Bevan, tell us a little bit about your build up to the 2020 Coast to Coast because it wasn't all plain sailing, was it?
No, I suppose it sort of started in 2017 when I started to do the 2018 race, pretty late in the piece. So, yeah, decision to get a kayak, do the kayak course, and that was sort of October, November. And then, yeah, had my first race, multi-sport race, really, that first two-day event in 2018. And that went okay, and that allowed, yeah, set me up to put a stretch goal in there to try and win it the following year. But unfortunately, that didn't eventuate.
You were going really well. Was it the Hemner half that you ran a like 120 something or other half marathon? Was that right?
Yeah, it was actually a couple of weeks before that I hurt my knee. I did probably a good point to make for those training for the Coast to Coast. I did a couple of two big weekends in a row, probably a month out from that race, and I did the Oxford run up Mount Oxford, biked there and back from Christchurch. And then I did Goats Pass the following weekend, hadn't quite recovered, and tweaked my knee and a bit of, ITB-related injury. And then sort of got better leading into that half marathon in Hamner and did the race, took a couple of painkillers, probably not the best way to do it. Ended up winning it, but paid the price with straight away after the race. I knew my knee wasn't right and tried to get it better for race day, but ended up 2 weeks out from the race. Had to make the decision to pull out of that 2019 race, and I was feeling pretty fit, so I was a bit gutted about not being able to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty tough, isn't it, to have to say to pull the pin to, and that I guess just makes 2020 and standing on the start line fit, ready to go, and injury free, just that more valuable. Like you just appreciate that so much more because it's tough to actually do that, isn't it?
Yeah, I learned a heap from that experience, and the following year, just getting back into shape and then managing my body a bit better, more time on the roller, more time stretching, getting the kind of health aspect right, and knowing when to ease off, I think is really important for people training. And then having a really good taper before the race, I felt really great on the start line. Yep, heading into it, excited and ready to go.
Yeah, good stuff. I have to say that I think I probably beat you under the start banner. Right at the start.
I think people said I nipped off a bit for the gun as well. We were right there together, I think.
yeah, there was no elbows, no nothing. We won't show any video clips of that. But your first day went really well, didn't it? Now, obviously, there was an alternate course that Christina's alluded to already, running up the viaduct and across a quite a gnarly Arthur's Pass route. Lots of off-road and lots of river trails, more than I ever expected to run. But then it come down to a really close finish between you and another competitor right at the end. Talk us through that.
Yes, a really good first day. I was second going to the first bike transition, I think, behind it was Jimmy, wasn't it?
Yep.
James Faulkner. He went caught up on the bike early, and then you got into the wee group with me trying to chase him down.
Yep.
And then the bike wasn't actually too fast, so I was feeling pretty good starting that run, and did a really nice transition. I was wearing my running shoes on the bike, straight out onto the run. James Faulkner came past me to get on the run, and I was kind of expecting that. But I think it was when we came off the road in the first place and into the near Oterra before there, the first river crossing and stuff, I managed to get past him there, just took a different route. And then led the run right through to the last sort of finishing shoot, pretty much. I found it quite brutal. I changed my shoes. I wore different shoes, expecting to be on the road a little bit more, and my feet got really beaten up on those rocks for the last sort of 8 kilometres there.
Yeah. And then what happened down the finishing shoot?
I wasn't looking back. I was sort of, I was just concentrating on the rocks leading into the end bit there, and you just go up that little, there were people there kind of directing you up that little rock climb before you hit the grass. And he just took a slightly different route there and just got past me and in front of me. And then he had the legs on me for the sprint.
Yeah. So sprint finish. First equal at the end of day one. How were you feeling at the end of day one? Because the 2 days, quite a different race compared to the longest day when you're it's all about recovery, putting your feet up, eating well, doing all those good things.
Yeah, food and drink into me straight away, and had a massage, and then got up off the massage table and could hardly stand or walk. My feet were just killing me, and the quads and legs starting to cramp up a bit. So, yeah, had to really recover that night, and I knew, luckily, didn't have to run the second day, or I might have been in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it. It's good that you've put it out there. I'm pleased that you're hurting a little bit because I certainly was walking a bit funny. I think pretty much every two-day competitor are walking a bit funny. You can definitely see who's done the mountain run at the end of day one, can't you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but fast bike group. You're in my bike group start of day two, weren't you? You got away pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's right. I tried to follow a couple of the fast team guys, which I held on to for all of maybe 3 minutes and then got spat out of that big time. And then you caught me and we sort of got into the boat together, which was good. And how'd you find the paddle? Like, the paddle was really challenging this year for a lot of longer stay competitors. But actually, from a two-day perspective, we had great conditions because we managed to get off the river before that nasty wind come through.
Yeah, pretty much as soon as we got off the boat and onto the bike, that wind really picked up, didn't it? So, yeah, really nice pedal. Conditions are great. I was lucky enough to pedal with a mate of mine who was doing the team event, and he caught me up, and then you came past, I think, just before the Iron Bridge, somewhere around there maybe. So I was just desperately trying to hold on to you because I knew you were a strong cyclist as well. So doing my best to keep up with you and try and get on the bike pretty close together.
Yeah, you took a different line for me just before the gorge, and it took me all the way to the Iron Bridge to catch you back up again. So you're going pretty well in your boat, which is awesome. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's a long race, and I think I managed to sneak away from you just through that transition. Got through there pretty efficiently, and then it was just a matter of all hands to the pump and see what you could do on the way home.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking. I was concentrating so much on getting to the end of the YMAC, you know, with you close beside me, that I didn't really think I should really sprint up that hill. You got up there a bit quicker than me and got away on the bike, and I was just battling to really try and catch up with you or just stay close to you, I suppose, for the last bike.
For me, like, I wasn't even like considering that I was gonna beat you or pass you or anything like that. I was just going as hard as I possibly could, whereas you're sort of thinking, hang on, I better not let that guy get away from me. It's quite funny.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was sort of keeping an eye. I did a bit of research. As I said earlier, I couldn't really track down how good a kayaker you were because you hadn't done any of the build-up kayak races. But I knew you'd be strong on the bike. And there's only about, 10 minutes between us on the after the first day, so I needed to stay pretty close to you.
So a great result and absolutely stoked for you that you were able to pick up the win. And so I guess the next thing is at the finish line, your prize was an entry into the longest stay.
It was. I was hoping to have a year off and get the body back in shape. I was sort of starting to get a few niggles. That was my prize. But I've did a bit too much over lockdown, really, and I did that Bow Miles full marathon in a day. I started to get a bit of sore knee the last few laps of that, and just hasn't come right, sort of patella tendonitis, and so I'm not able to do much running. So organisers allowed me to enter a team, so I'm going to do a family team, three-person team, next year.
Brilliant, good stuff. And paddling a new boat, so you got that challenge to get stuck into and enjoy.
Yeah, moved from a rock star to a Magnetar, and just getting the hang of that. It is a little different, so a bit of paddling this year hopefully, and I can get used to that and do a good paddle for my team.
With the view of ruffling a few feathers maybe in the following year in the longest day.
Maybe. I'd love to really get good at kayaking again this year and improve in that space, and then have a crack at the one day and see how I get on.
It's almost Richard, like he's opening the door for you to be able to take one more step up the ladder. Isn't that nice of him?
It was really good of him. But I think that's the beauty of the two-day. You just don't know who you're going to get. You just have to stand on the start line. A whole bunch of people were everyone's got their different goals, and just race as hard as you can for yourself, because anything can happen. I had a guy that that crashed into my back. We were right on the last corner of Marine Parade and unfortunately hit the deck. So I sort of stopped and sort of tried to make sure he was okay. And so anything can happen the whole day, can't it? So just keep racing and do your own thing. And there'll be another Bevan Jones, I'm sure, lining up next year.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, you never know who's going to be there. I had a few names going into the race, but there were three or four other guys I'd never heard of and really pushed me. So, yeah, it's a great thing about it, I suppose. Anyone can have a really good crack at it.
Yep, good job, Bevan.
All right, Bevan, thank you for joining us. All the best with a bit of knee recovery there. A family team. Hopefully it's not a game of family feud over the weekend. And 2022 for lining up on that one day start line.
Yep, fingers crossed. Yep, and good luck to you guys, whatever you're doing as well.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was quite interesting, wasn't it, Rich? Hey, there was a battle there all weekend by the sounds of that.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? The banter, it's all part of the fun of it as well, isn't it? You race as hard as you can and then cheer and pat each other on the back when you get to the finish line.
Yeah, and I've got to say that, you know, just so that people know, you know, I know the one day Coast to Coast is the, I suppose, the premier event of the Coast, Kathmandu Coast to Coast. But nonetheless, it is hard and fast, and there is some serious competition and some serious pride in winning the two-day event.
Mm. Well, I think I compare like the 2 day is actually almost a sprint race for the top end. Like, you're, it's about 6 hours each day. It's not like a big 12 hour day for the top end of the longest day. So it's different. You race differently. You just race and it's a running race kind of thing. And then you have to pedal and bike as hard as you possibly can and try and keep up with some team competitors. So it's a different event, but it's a fun event and it's social and there's lots of other people around and lots of vibe and good coast to coast atmosphere going on.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you know, Rich, so far that's another two really passionate coast-to-coast people that we've just spoken to. But, you know, speaking of passionate coast-to-coast associations and things, none more than our couple of great sponsors. One, we've got to thank Kathmandu themselves. Great to have such an iconic brand, such a passionate brand about the coast to coast, but also the outdoors and getting people out there. It's amazing to have Kathmandu on board once again for the coast to coast. But also, Rich, Team CP, you know, you guys at Team CP are so super passionate about coast to coast. And tonight, Rich, I just want to quickly talk about, you know, we know that you can offer athletes some training. We can offer them some coaching plans, some guided tours through Goat Pass and all those sort of things. But one of the other things that Team CP does is over the race weekend, offer a support package for you, whether you're a local, whether you're from out of town, won't be from out of from overseas this year, unfortunately. But Rich, just quickly tell us about that support package that Team CP can provide.
Yeah, so we've sort of nailed it down over the last 5 or 6 years in terms of how we actually do that. So we've got the logistics pretty well nailed these days. So it ends up being like a 5-day tour from Wednesday when we meet you, drive over on Thursday, cheer you on and help you through the transitions if you're 2 day or longer stay, and then have a beer together on the Sunday at the prize giving at the end. So it's a really good option if you've got, hey, want to do it, but you're not sure if the family are going to enjoy being the support crew and the stress of that. They can basically, you can come along, be part of our team, lots of people to cheer you on and help you out, and we're lots of knowledgeable people that have been there many years before, and then hey, family and things can travel along with us and be part of that support team without having to worry about the stress of being in the right place at the right time and giving you the right piece of gear. So it's a fantastic weekend and it's really cool to meet other people and share their experiences.
Yeah, and I guess it's a peace of mind. You know, you've put all those months and months of training in. You've done all your paddling, all your running. You've ticked all of those boxes that you can control yourself. So I guess provide a little bit of peace of mind that come the weekend, come the day, that proper support's there and some guidance and things when you need it.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Totally agree.
Well, speaking of guidance and support, our next guest, Maddie Bateman, we're providing a bit of guidance and support. I think that's a bit scary, actually, to be fair, for him in his lead up, him and his and his teammate in their quest. Shall we catch up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Matt, how are we getting on tonight?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Matt. Good. Welcome back again.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Matt, we're looking to catch up with you in this lead up to the Coast to Coast and really trying to track your progress and see how you're getting on. You own a gym, you HIIT style classes, so lots of good exercise going on there. So fitness and strength isn't an issue, but actually putting the disciplines together and actually how am I going to do this? That's kind of a really big challenge for you and a little bit out of the comfort zone. So keen to hear your progress. What have you been doing since last?
Well, I've been getting into the training now, and obviously we're getting into 6 months of the event, so we're not too far away. The HIIT style training we do at the gym is quite transferable to the endurance and I guess the multi-sport sort of stuff, but now just trying to get into the specifics, and I'm going down to the, obviously looking forward to the kayaks, but and also the cycling, but just trying to get a bit more, I guess, time under my belt with that sort of stuff, and heading down to the open day down at Aroa Canoe Club on Saturday, and then booked them for the kayak course in October. So I guess now it's just trying to get those little things, I guess, in place and then putting time aside to make sure I'm on the right track. And obviously you can be fit, but being, fit for your chosen, whatever you want to call it. But basically just going down those, your discipline, going down those lines and making sure that all the little things that come with it too, you know. So, yeah.
There's a question that's just popped up off Facebook. What's the one piece of advice that you give to a first timer in the 2-day? And I think you've just sort of hit on that there. My key piece of advice would be around skills, being confident in your boat, being happy and comfortable riding in a bunch, and then also comfortable in the terrain, in the mountains and rock running and all those sorts of things. So I guess that's kind of your next focus now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Yeah, and on that question too, I think just being excited, you know, like being excited for it, because you're going into the unknown and you've got nothing to lose. And we touched on it last time we spoke a month ago, and, you know, I thought that when we were going down the viaduct, and I said, hey, look, you'd hate to be riding up this thing because the river was high, you know, and it turns out we ended up running up it, you know, and I thought I was never going with that mindset. I was going with the mindset I was going to be running Goat's Pass, you know. So I think just being excited and just going into the unknown with nothing to lose. But yeah, for me now, I think it's just trying to get those specifics right and then coming up with a game plan that building up into the summer months and getting ready, you know, with this next 6 months is obviously keeping that fitness base, but then just nailing those little things and just being confident in those little things, you know. So I'm excited about it and getting in and out of the boat and just then getting in and out of the tandem boat too, you know. So that'll be exciting as well.
Good job. Matt, how many days, hours, minutes are there until the gun goes off?
190 days, 9 hours, and it's about 10 minutes now until the gun goes off, I think. That's the time. Yeah, 8 minutes. Yeah. So 9 hours. Yeah. There's a countdown timer on the Coast to Coast website if anyone wants to take a look at it. So it's got it all there for you.
You weren't supposed to give that away. You were supposed to roll with that there, Matt, that that's how excited you were. You've got your own.
Oh, well, I am pretty excited. I've got a wee countdown calendar up there as well. So I'm keeping an eye on things. Yeah.
Perfect. And Matt, this is your first time. You're not doing it alone, though. You're doing the tandem team. How's Tomo getting on your teammate?
Yeah, well, she's quite a busy girl too, so she's playing quite high-level hockey at the moment, and she's busy with that, but we've been doing some big runs and trainings on a Sunday, so combining a bit of bike stuff at the gym and then going for some runs and doing some good couple of hours sort of sessions together on a Sunday, just more because we don't have the time throughout the week because we've been busy with our other stuff. So we're just trying to incorporate that together and then just getting some time, I guess, we're bonding and putting our head in a dark hole, I guess, as you'd say. Some it's maybe not as long as you guys would sort of be training in the multi-sport sort of stuff, but we've just been doing it probably at a higher threshold and having some fun as well, you know. So that's a key thing from us. And we've just started a new run club, which is out of the Welder now on a Tuesday, and that. So we're trying to do that stuff as well to tick those boxes, but as well as still, I guess, being in the community as well. So, yeah.
And I think the other key thing that you do really well, just going back to that piece of advice, is that you run a gym, you're working on sort of strength, conditioning, flexibility, mobility, how your body moves on a daily basis. So you've got that good foundation of movement. So that's super important when you come back to doing those longer sessions, being out there longer and more, that your body's more robust and more likely to stay together and less likely to be injured because you've trained that. And it's not too late if you haven't done any of that sort of prehab type stuff to actually do a little bit of the work now as well. But that's great that you've got that foundation.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we've got that, Matt. I'm hoping that there's another 1,000 participants out there that are just as excited as you are, because if that is the case, that's going to be one heck of an atmosphere on the start line.
Yeah, can't wait. I can't wait, guys.
Yep.
Brilliant. Good stuff, Matt. Well, great to talk to you. Pleased to hear things are going well. We'll look forward to hearing that. As you mentioned, it's time to get out there and do a few adventures. What adventures you get up to are across this course of the next month when we catch up with you on our next Kathmandu Coast to Coast special at the start of September. And, yeah, so what's your key goal that you're going to try and tick off by the time we catch up next?
Oh, I'd probably say a good three or four bike rides, big long ones, and get in and out of the kayak and get a bit more confident, I guess. Yeah, get down there and start getting on the water. Obviously, the weather's getting a bit warmer, so the more I can get outside, the better.
Good job. Well done. We'll look forward to that. Write that down, Angus, and we'll keep him accountable to that.
Excellent. Well,
all right, thanks, guys.
Maybe we might be able to go for a little bike ride with him there, Rich, or something, and just hold him to it.
And you'll come for a gym session with me then, Angus, and we'll be happy.
I feel a live broadcast coming on, Richard.
Dangerous. Direct on the gym. Make sure you've got a few recovery days planned after that, Angus.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Matt. We'll catch you in a minute.
Good job. Well done. Thanks, Angus.
That's quite all right, Richard. That is the end of another Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, brought to you, of course, by Kathmandu and you good people at Team CP. Thank you all very much for joining us out there. Don't forget that these podcasts are the first Wednesday of every month from now until the Coast to Coast. And we would just welcome you to join us each Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's any other questions you've got, feel free to fire them through so we can answer them for you. And also our guests that we get on board as well. And one last piece for me today is a bit of breaking news. I put my name down as an entrant for the Coast to Coast 2-day officially today. So I got that little entry in. So I'm going to put the toe on the start line. It's been really good last year. I enjoyed the process of training and making sure my whole goal last year was to stand on the start line with the view that I might be allowed to do it again and with the family and not forgetting about that life balance as well. So that was really cool to be able to do that and stay upright in my boat and have a bit of fun giving Bevan a bit of a hurry up and some of the other lads a bit of a go at it as well. So I'm going to have another crack and enjoy another awesome coast-to-coast experience. So I'll keep you posted on how I get on.
I'm just going to say that's super exciting, Richard. We are only expecting, great things from you again and as always, and look forward to sharing your journey as well as Matt's, as well as everybody out there that's participating. We're just part of the journey there with you. Share it all with us is the way. Don't forget to get out there and support our sponsors. Get down to your local Kathmandu store, buy some of their great gear and get out in the outdoors and use it. Give Richard a ring. He can provide some coaching, some training, the support package, the full thing.
Good job. And I've just one comment that came up on Facebook here. Matt told me he's going to win it this year. Actual facts. So we'll look forward to keeping him accountable to that as well.
Actual word it here. It's been a night of breaking news, that's for sure. Righto, team, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, we will see you next month on the first Wednesday.
Good job. Over and out. Thanks, Angus.
Yeah.
It's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand. Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it?